I'm really blessed. We had a newsletter from Jerry Seville. They're always a real encouragement to get a letter from him. He's a well-known minister of the word, an American, but got a worldwide ministry for those who don't know him. And he was saying that I must have missed last month's newsletter, but he was saying, I shared that the Spirit of God had said to me regarding 2005. He said, in 2005, the faithful shall flourish and the faithful shall thrive. And I think they're two words that we can accept. Faithful flourish and thrive. We've just got to designate who are the faithful. Who are the faithful? Because it says the faithful will flourish and thrive. And we pray that for Jolene, that she will flourish and thrive, and the child also. Amen. Amen. Flourish and thrive. I'll give you lots of sleepless nights. No, we don't pray that upon your tongue. Ours never did, so praise God. After a few weeks, slept all night, which was a blessing. Amen. It's that long since I've done this, I can't remember how to start now. Hebrews 10 tells us about who the faithful are. And I must have to wear my glasses now, it's terrible. Problem is, I wear them to read and I can't see anybody else then. I'm glad I didn't hear that, Andy. But I'll trip you up on Friday when you come. Hebrews 10 and verse 38. It says, now the just shall live by faith. Yeah. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. So it's telling us there that the just shall live by faith.
Yeah.
And we know that faith, we can't see that. We can't see faith. As it tells in verse 1 of chapter 11, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for.
Yeah.
And beginning of the year, we're all setting our new goals, our new aims, our new targets for what we're aiming for this year. We can set practical targets, we can set spiritual targets as well.
Yeah.
I know Andrew's hoping this year he'll be able to ride his bike properly and things like that. Well, they said if somebody was going to have to watch him the other day, I don't know what. But that's his goal, that's an earthly goal. He wants to learn his bike, but he wants to do it proficiently, professionally, so spending time in there. No, I'm joking. I know you can ride it. No, I know. I've been on the bike. All right, yeah. I've got the bruises to prove it. Got them nettle rash on my knee when he kept going around them corners. But now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's what faith is. We can't see it, but God's word said, but this is it. It's a substance, so it's got... it's got something to it. We can't see it, but we can feel it.
Yeah.
Substance of things hoped for. We've all got hopes. We've got lots of hopes. We set targets for last year, and I don't think any of them got fulfilled. I think we've got lots of extra ones as well this year. But we just stop in there. We just stand in there till the evidence arrives, till it matures, till the evidence appears.
Amen.
So it says that the just shall live by faith. It implies to become extremely successful. This is God's desire for you during the new year. Remember, he specifically said that this is what would happen to the faithful.
Yeah.
So if we're going to be faithful, we've got to live by faith. We've got to start putting into action things that God has said were going to happen in his word that we may not see at the moment.
Yeah.
Grace said to Christine that whatever you read, you might not understand it. We don't understand most of it, so you're not alone. But God reveals some, and people, God reveals it to others who reveal it. So it's all passed on. And but don't go with anything, just go with what you're reading there. I think that's important to know, that you don't just go with. We've had people come in and they've said, God said so and so, and they've run with it. And then, but you can't find it in here. It's not in here. And they've run with it, and they're now no longer with us. Some of them are not even believers anymore. They're in the right state, because they've run with what they thought, but they've not checked to see whether it's in here. And if you don't know if it's in here, ask somebody that does. Ask. So, just thought that was important to. But I don't think it would just run off with anything. But like I said, we do know people that have just gone off on a whim. I'd like to submit to you that a definition that the Holy Ghost recently gave me. This is another quote from Jerry. He said, faithfulness, gave me for faithfulness. It's the act of sticking with God no matter what happens in your life. Okay. Just sticking with Him. No matter what happens. Well, we as a family can relate to that. Yeah. We just have to stick with Him, because things have happened around us. It's been frightening at times. What's been happening around us, and we just don't seem to be in control of anything. And God says, just trust me, just trust me, because I'm in this. Just hold on, fasten your seat buckle and go with it. One or two of you might know I've had a few flying lessons. It's always something I've wanted to do, and I've decided to have a few flying lessons. And I went with a different instructor the other day, and because we haven't gone back to school, I thought, oh, I'll slip another one in, because you get lots missed because of bad weather and things like that. And he was the head examiner, the head instructor, as it turns out. I think he'd got quite a sense of humour, actually. So he says, oh yes, what we're going to do, he says, I can see what you need to do on your list. We're going to do some stalling. Well, anybody that knows, like stalling a car, the engine just stops. You think, well, sounds a bit, okay. So we go up and we have a go, and you literally, the plane just stops. The engine's still going slowly, but it's literally stalls. You're not going anywhere apart from down. And then he said, and this is what happens if you do the manoeuvre wrong to get out of it. You're supposed to put your nose down, gather a bit of speed, power on, and you're fine. But he said, if you put the power on first, he says it just accentuates it and makes it worse. Oh, I thought I was dead. I thought, where am I? The plane reared up in the air, and it shot off sideways, and we started in a spin, and we're hurtling towards the earth at over 100 miles an hour. And he says, did you enjoy that? I said, well, no, I'll do it the right way. We'll not use the wrong way. And a bit later on, he said, we need to practice spins, actually. He says, I'll show you how we do a spin. So we start in this spin, and all you'd see is the earth going like this. And I'm paying for this. I think I'm paying. God, this is awful. I know. And we get out of it, and we'd only lost a few hundred feet, really. And he said, next one you're doing. I said, well, you're still there, aren't you? He said, well, I've not left. Anyhow, we... you can't carry a parachute because they're too heavy, so you... there's no parachute, because it wouldn't take the weight plus two instructors in the plane. So he said, well, I've got to get back because I've got another pupil after you. So anyhow, we set off. Wing goes down. We're hurtling, spinning down. And I knew what to do, but you've got to do it. Andrew was saying that, you know, you've got to be involved in this Christianity, like I was involved in this, getting this place. So we're hurtling down, spinning. So you've got to stop it spinning first. So you bang the rudder pedal and it stops it spinning. But you're still going down straight then, at 120 odd miles an hour. And then you've got to pull it back up. He says, well done. He didn't seem affected by it at all. Me and my stomach was up there. And I was everywhere like that. He says, you did that all yourself. He says, I didn't do a thing. I said, are you sure? He says, yeah. But he looked as calm as anything. But he knew what was coming. He'd done it so many times. But getting back to the word, we've got to know what's going to happen when God says do it.
Yeah.
Even if we haven't been there, God says, well, I've done it. I've been there.
Yeah.
I've been involved in it. Just trust me.
Whoa.
Trust me. And I'll get you out of it.
Amen.
I suffered for about 3 days afterwards. My back ached, my stomach ached, my arms ached. But I felt as though I'd achieved something.
Yeah.
And that's what God's saying. I want you, in my word, when you've done something with me, and then I say, okay, it's your go, and it's right what Grace was saying, he'll give you something to do that you can't possibly ever do yourself.
True.
Completely out of your depth.
Yeah.
But you'll feel that sense of achievement. I can do it.
Yeah.
I can do it. I've done it, God, yeah. You're right, I can do it.
Yeah.
I am capable.
Amen.
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 God, these glasses are a nuisance. So faithful, to be faithful, it's an act of sticking with God no matter what happens in your life.
Amen.
Many people tend to become offended at this.
Yeah.
You become offended. And immediately I thought of Mark 4. It's the parable of the sower.
Yeah.
Mark 4, and in verse 17, in fact we can have a quick look at it, in Mark 4. Matthew, Mark. And verse 17. And Jesus explaining the parable because they didn't understand it. And it says, and have no root in themselves, and so endure for a short time afterwards with afflictions or persecution ariseth from the word's sake. Immediately they are offended. So they're offended because of afflictions and persecutions. And yet, I've been there recently. You soon get offended. It's quite easy to get offended, isn't it, my dear? You can vouch for that. Yeah, nodding. It's easy to get offended. But it's knowing how to get out of it. It's knowing how to get rid of it quickly. It's knowing how to solve the problem. If I had to solve the problem of going down to earth quickly,
yeah,
I wouldn't be still here now. But I solved the problem because I'd listened. I'd seen, I will demonstrate. God's demonstrating for us.
Yes.
The instructor demonstrated. I watched him intently.
Yeah.
My eyes never left him.
Yeah.
And then when he said, you have control.
Amen.
I have control. And God's saying the same.
Yes.
You have control. You've got to repeat it back to him just so he knows you're doing it. That's a procedure in an aircraft. You've got to tell the person so he knows that you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
So don't get offended. Don't get offended. Just give it to God. Daniel had an incident yesterday. Went to pick him up from work, and we're going to spend an hour just doing a quick bit of shopping. And he said, having an awful shift. Horrible. First hour in, I had this woman, she had at me this and she's shouting at me that, and I just refused to serve in the end. But his boss backed him up because she was being a bit abusive, so, but he'd not let go of it. I said, it's not your problem, it's belongs to the company, you know. But he couldn't let go of it. And then somebody else came along with a small problem, but he'd already got a problem. He's hanging on to that one. So this problem hooked on to the next one. By the time we picked him up, he was a bit wound up, wasn't he, mate? Yeah. Especially when we thought he'd forgotten his sandwich as well. So every little thing. So I said, you've just got to get rid of it. I said, now I'm one of the worst, Daniel, I know. But you've just got to put it aside. It's not my problem. It belongs to the Debenhams. That's Debenhams' problem. You sort it out. I'll get on to the next. And God's saying the same, just let go of it.
Amen.
Just let go of that problem. Give it back. Give it away. So in Hebrews 10 and verse 38, it says, the just shall live by faith. goat. Oh, we've got a goat in there. But if any man draweth back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Now, it doesn't say there that he's going to reject you.
No.
He's going to cast you down. It just says he'll have no pleasure in you. He's upset. God's upset because you're not listening. You're not doing what he's asked you to do. But he's not left you. He's not said, that's it, you're finished. Don't want to go into church. I've excommunicated you. You're finished, son. Done. Pack your bags off. No, he just said, I've just no pleasure. He wants pleasure in us.
Yeah.
Pleasure in him. We'll see how we can get back to that shortly. He says, you've probably already discovered in life, discovered life's not fair. It's not fair because things don't happen how we want them to.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's a blessing. Bad things often happen to good people.
Yeah.
Satan's no respecter of persons.
No.
He doesn't really care how good you are. This is Satan. God does. He doesn't really care how good you are, how much you love God. He hates you for what you stand for.
Yeah.
He's not bothered how many times you go to church, how much you read the word, how many Bibles you've got, how many books you've got on faith. He just hates you because you like, because you love God. Because you've decided that you've moved camps.
Yeah.
You've come out of the dark and you've gone into the light. And that's purely why he doesn't like you. He's not a respecter of persons. In 1 Peter 4 and verse 12, it says, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. That's 1 Peter 4 and verse 12. 1 Peter, sorry, did I not say that? 1 Peter 4 and verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial. It's not just any old trial. It's a fiery or a fiery trial. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, which is to, not which might,
yeah.
Which is, it will, it's going to happen anyhow.
Yeah.
You're going to get one. If you stick with God and you want to move on with God, he's going to just check that you understand what it's all about.
Absolutely.
Before they'll give me a license to fly, they'll check that I know everything, which is a long way off, about 18 months away. If I carry on, but they'll check that I know what I need to know, and God's checking. That's the only reason he checks. A trial is just to check that you know what you know. I'll send them out, but I'll just give them a little exam, Daniel.
Yeah.
Little check. That's all it is, just to check, see whether you've read, whether you've understood.
Yeah.
So he's hiding out there doing his revision. And it says, fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. Some strange thing. Don't think it's strange. Don't think that God's having a downer on you because he's just checking that you know what you know.
Okay.
It's just part of the territory, as they say in the school these days. It all goes with the territory. They check you out. So don't be surprised, Hebrews says. Don't be surprised. Just that he'll have no pleasure. What did I go to then? Alright. It says, fight the good fight of faith in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. I think Andrew said earlier that we're involved in this. We're involved in this Christianity. It's not something that is handed on a plate. That we've got to get involved in it. We've got to fight. And if we start saying things like, well, I can't take this anymore, then we're actually going against what Jesus did on the cross. We're saying that, well, what you did on the cross, Lord, wasn't enough for my problems. Wasn't enough. Because Jesus had the victory. He took the victory. It tells us, if we read, that he took death and he took sin. Crushed them, took them. So we need to be saying, well, we need to watch our words.
Yeah.
But we need to be confessing over ourselves what we can do. I can do all things through Christ Jesus, who strengthens me.
Yeah.
And there's lots and lots in there. James 4:7 tells us to resist the devil and he will flee from you. That's James 4:7. Sorry, I know we're flitting about. I'm trying you out, aren't I, Christine, on this. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Just resist. Resist using the word. Andrew talked last week about he's no teeth.
No.
He's not a problem. Just resist him. Just tell him that the word says that he's a defeated foe. The words fight and resist, like I just said, sound like we have a part to play in all this. Being passive won't produce a victory.
No.
The problem we just had around Christmas with that tsunami. Yeah. That needed some resistance, it needed some fight, it needed... No, it's been passive to win that victory, to make a headway. No. We've got to get aggressive, we've got to get in there, we've got to do something. You've got to use what, in the case of the world, what resources they've got at hand to get in there.
Yeah.
If we'd have just sat and said, oh dear, isn't that a shame? Even more people would have died.
Yeah.
We've got to be determined that quitting is no longer an option.
Amen.
And I'm preaching this as much to myself today as anyone.
Yeah. But
because we need to hear the word.
Yeah.
It's not just saying these, it's not just thinking. I think I'll say something positive. We've actually got to do it.
Yeah. True.
Quitting's become a way of life for some people. It's just so easy to pack up and not bother anymore.
Yeah.
You know, there's no commitment in marriage now. It's just so easy to... Well, we never did tie the knot, so we haven't got one to undo. And but there's no commitment in other things as well, in jobs, in anything. There's no commitment there. There was actually a piece in the paper I was reading, Dina gave me, and it's, it says, this is why children have only a short attention span at school, because the video games have short games. They play them for a short attention span on the game, and the game's over. But when you've got to last for maybe 50 minutes in a lesson, and a game might last for 2 or 3 minutes,
yeah,
5 minutes at the out, you know, there's a bit of a shortfall there.
Yeah.
And the concentration span is so short because they're being trained just to little nibbly bits,
yeah,
not keep in there. So quitting has not got to be a way of life to us. We've not got to give up on the pressure. We've got to have tolerance. It's no use. We're back to being offended. We've got to have tolerance with people. I need to learn more tolerance with people. It only comes with practice. It only comes with stopping and thinking, I've done it again. I've done it again.
Yeah.
I need to go back. We need to. As far as I can tell from reading the Bible, the only people that God rewards are those who are diligent or faithful. Diligent and faithful. Faithful, we've heard. Diligent just means you're sticking in there. Just means no matter what happens, you're just going to keep doing it. You're going to keep reading the word. You're going to keep believing the word. There's so many things on the television now that can try and convince you that there was one on at Christmas, that the Bible's only written by a man. But they miss out so many important things, that there's now lots of proof that things in the Bible actually happened.
Yeah.
Scientists have proved things.
Yeah.
They've found evidence in the... But the bit I watched, this chap had omitted those. He'd omitted all the evidence that was coming in to back up the word. God's revealing things so that his word will be accepted.
Yeah.
But they're just manipulating the evidence, the truth, to suit their own ends.
Yeah.
Hebrews 11 and verse 6 we've already read. Without faith, but it says without faith, it's impossible to please... Sorry, we haven't read it, Hebrews 11 verse 6. We are going now to read it. I'm thinking of the other one, aren't I? Sorry, we're going to read Hebrews 11 verse 6. But without faith it is impossible to please him, that's God, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Diligently seek something is to keep seeking it. Is to keep... I'll get you after church. Diligently seeking is to... That's your goal. That's what you're going for.
Yeah.
If you're on a university course, that's what you're aiming for 3 or 4 years. You've got to go that way, because if you don't, you'll never pass it and you'll not be able to move on. With God, it's whatever target, whatever he's given you to do. Don't go looking for something to do. God will give you your little niche, the thing that you can do best. God didn't give me cake baking, because you would never have eaten any of mine, or not many of them. But he gave it Joan, because she's got a... I know we're picking on you again, Joan, but she's just got that gift to do cakes. I can get there eventually, once you've cut the black bit off the outside, you're fine. But God gives you that gift that you're good at. You probably aren't good at it to start with, because he will give you that impossible task we talked about in the beginning. You will be. He'll give you that impossible task to do, and then he'll say, right, let's do it together.
Amen.
And then so far along, you'll not notice that he's left you, and you're doing it all on your own. Getting back to the flying. You know, you're doing it together, and then you turn round and the instructor's looking out the window and no hands on anything. So you're doing it on your own. But he didn't make a big shout about it, saying, oh, by the way, you're doing it all on your own now. And God's the same. He's just leading you along. I think Andrew used the one with the bike, didn't he? You know, push bike. I've got two to ride, you know, and you push them, you just let go and see if they can keep going a bit further on with the push bike.
Yeah.
Then you go and pick them up. But you don't tell them you're letting go, because then they would panic. One or two of us have been apprentices, and then they let you do things, and then they cover their eyes. You think, oh, that's probably is that a bad sign that I'm doing something wrong? But I know there's at least three being apprentices here that we've had to learn, then we had to do it on our own. So God rewards those who diligently seek him, looking forward to him doing that task that he's asked you to do. Diligence is the quality of being constant.
Yeah.
To be constant means to be resolute. Resolute. You've made that resolution that's what you're going to do. You're not going to go this way or that way. God says, I'm going to do that job. That's the job I'm doing. You're determined to do it to the best of your ability. or to remain firm in purpose or pursuit. So you're not dithering from side to side. Helen goes to work to do maths, she doesn't go to do needlework. Her aim when she gets to school is maths. I know that because I've worked with her for a while, so I know it's maths. So that's her aim at school. That's the aim. Whatever job you do, you go in and you do that job. That's, you're resolute on that. You're firm. Jude says in verse 3, Jude's just before Revelation, I believe, isn't it? Jude and verse 3, he says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write to you and to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." Contend for it. Again, we're involved in it. We're contending for it. This tells us that there will be opposition, adversity, and distractions. There's lots of... distractions are easy. Yeah. I'm great on me for starting a job, and then somebody will say, "Can you just... oh yeah, I'll just do that." And then an hour later you think, "Oh, I was halfway through doing that." And then you've forgotten what you were doing. And it's sticking there, sticking in with it. It's not wrong to go and do something else, but you've just got to remember to go back to the other one. If you haven't determined that you will be resolute, then you will more likely give up when the pressure comes. So we've got to look, we've got to stick in there. And God kept saying to me, you know, it's a time before we get to the end of the month, you've got to set your targets, as you might say. It's a big thing now in education, you've got to set targets for this and that and the other. You get so many you can't remember what targets you've set. So they write them all down, then you lose the papers. They don't do primary schools, they set millions of targets. You've got targets for everything. But it's too much. You've got to set targets that are achievable. And it's no use setting your own target, it's saying, "God, well, what target would you want me to set this year? Do you want me to give more? Do you want me to read the word more? Do you want me to get involved in outreach more? What do you want to do?" And it's His will that we should do. So we should seek Him. Seek Him and then set the goal and then stick in there. So it's seeking Him. I don't remember where I've got to. Discipline. This is what Andrew mentioned earlier, discipline. So we can set all these goals, we can set all these things, but we haven't got discipline to do it. I can look at one there who's the worst disciplined person I know at the moment. Yes, Luke, you'd admit that, wouldn't you? Yeah, the only discipline he likes is laying on the settee, watching the square box. He's brilliant at that. Fantastic, top of the mark, top of the tree for that one, aren't you? But you know that you've got certain other things to do, haven't you? And you got a little shocked, didn't you, when your friend actually beat you in got a better mark in a clarinet exam. I think that shook you up a little bit, didn't it? Because it was a girl as well. And he admits that, yes, I could have done more. Could have. But could haves have gone. Should haves have gone. Could haves and should haves. If ads. They've all gone. They're in the past. We can't do anything about them. It's what we've got to do. We've got to get up and do it. I know I'm picking on you. You can have a go at me later, Luke. But don't forget, I didn't give you pocket money, so don't. So we've got to be disciplined. And when we get distracted, we've got to talk ourselves back into it. And it's not easy that, because sometimes you get into a real downer and you You don't want to think positive. You don't want to talk positive to yourself at all. Because it's easier to keep going the way you're going. It's easier if you've got somebody with you. We'll say, now, come on, you've got to look at it this way. Think this, it's not as bad as that. You've got to start looking at all the good things.
Yeah.
Start looking at the little bits, you know. And you'll soon start building yourself up. Building yourself up by reading the Word. By reading those promises. Grayson had mentioned some earlier. David used the Psalms.
Yeah.
You read the Psalms and a lot of them set off. And David's quite a state. Quite a depressed state. But by the end of the Psalm, every Psalm, I don't know if there's any that he's not firing on all cylinders. You know, it's really, I'm going for it now. I've just talked myself into a, well, let's have a look at some. Well, we read one earlier, didn't we? Psalm 9, I'll praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. That's quite a good one, that one. I think it was 36 I was thinking. But one or two set off and he's a little bit depressed. Fret not thyself, this is 37, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. So he's trying to convince himself that he's doing the right thing. But by the time he gets to the end of 37, and the Lord shall help them and deliver them.
Yeah.
He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them,
yeah,
because they trust in him. So by the end of that psalm, he's back on track. And they're great to read. Read the Psalms. Read the Psalms when you're getting a little bit down.
Yeah.
35. Plead my case, O Lord. I mean, that's a real good start, isn't it? But again, by the end. And my tongue shall speak of the righteousness and all the praise, and of thy praise all day long.
Yeah.
So he's back on track. He knows that that's the way it should be going. No matter what people are talking about around you. You know, talk to yourself, convince yourself it's your problem that you have to solve, not somebody else's. No matter if they laugh at you saying, oh, who are you talking to yourself? You're a bit, you know, got a tile loose up there. But it's not their problem, it's your problem that you want solving. And when your problem's solved, then you can laugh at them.
Amen.
Well, you shouldn't really, but you can say, but my problem's now solved. How did you solve yours? Well, actually I didn't, it's still there, but I was mocking you and not concentrating on what I should be doing. So you've got to be determined to stick in there. Stick in for 2005.
Amen.
If you haven't set any tasks, any goals, any aims, seek God. Just ask God. It's something I realised we didn't do on Friday at the leaders' meeting.
Yeah.
I sent Andrew an email. Because I remember we hadn't done it, we hadn't looked back at the year and said what was good, what was bad, what we might do, what we definitely would never do again. But we didn't look for this year. It's not the end of the world. I mean, but we've got. If you don't have an aim, you're not going anywhere. If you don't have a goal,
yeah,
you're not going to reach that goal. If you're only aiming at number one, you'll get there really easy. If you're at number zero, you get there every time, won't you?
Yeah.
But if you're aiming high, if you're aiming at 100, it's a lot harder to get there. So we've really got to be saying to ourselves, just to wind this up now, eating seems to have done well. That's an answer to prayer.
Well,
last week we couldn't keep the thing working, but this week, fantastic, too hot. Finally, I'm not one of those who will draw back. Hebrews 10 and verse 38. Because God says that Can't remember now. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. So we want God to have pleasure in us. We want to have pleasure in God. So we're not going to draw back. We're going to be... I'm not one of those who will draw back. But if we need to, we'll talk to somebody else. If we're struggling, lots of people here we can all talk to. We can all go and say, please give me a scripture that's going to encourage me.
Yeah.
One that challenges the other person to know one, be able to find one.
Yeah.
And that's satisfying. We say, yeah, I've got one. Just the one you want there. Just the one you want.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll bless that person then, because you've helped someone. You've fulfilled a need in someone's life. So let's not all be islands. Let's not all... be wandering around. We're a fellowship.
That's right.
We're a team.
Yeah.
No, Luke.
Yeah.
There's no use in your rugby if you just do your thing and everybody else does theirs. Is it?
No.
And that's what you did when you first started playing, because I went to watch you. But now they've been playing a few months, they're playing as a team. And they win now. Not all the time, but lots of the time you won, haven't you? Because you work as a team. And you listen to the instructions from the coach on the side. Before, they probably heard what he said and thought, what's that? How do I do that? But now it's, alright, yeah. Because they're listening and obeying and doing. So as we're going along as a team, we're listening.
Yeah.
Andrew will shout instructions.
Yeah.
God will shout instructions.
Yeah.
Some people throw maps away.
Yeah.
We don't need maps, do we? It's a tale I'll tell you about that one day, Christine. There's some scripture in there somewhere, isn't there, that one? It's got to be. So I was just letting God guide us on that one. I was putting faith in action, you see, just throwing the map away. It cost me about £10, that, £12. We've got to stick in there, set some goals, be disciplined. Carry on reading.
Yeah.
Steadfast, faithful. That's what a disciple is. It's one who was disciplined.
Yeah.
One who the disciples followed Jesus around.
Yeah.
They didn't follow him one day and then one waltz off and follow somebody another day. They followed Jesus. When he called them, that was it. They followed Jesus.
Yeah.
I know there was times when Jesus left them, that they struggled, but they still kept with him in the end. Overall, they were with him. So whatever you're called to do, do it. Stick in there, be disciplined, and aim high. We had a letter from... I might as well do this now, aren't we? We've been going to some of these Heart of Worship at Wath Pentecostal with Chris Bowater. And they sent some more, saying, well, we're going to have some more this year, but they're going to be different, because we want to jump up a bit, enlarging the vision they've put on there. So they're not just carrying on with more sessions as they were last year, they're going up a step. It says they want to step up in worship, step up in leadership, and step up in excellence. So what was okay in 2004 it's not okay now in 2005. They want to go up a notch. Because God's saying, yeah, that's a good step. This is the next step. So it's encouraging when you get letters, and we're going to pin this up on the back anyhow because of about 6 or 8 different sessions this year. But they're not just, yeah, come along, we'll do some more sessions like we did last year. No, we're seeking God. And God says we're going to move up a step.
Amen.
We're moving on, we're moving up.
Amen.
But to do that, you've got to be disciplined. You've got to be faithful to God and to the Word.
Yeah.
Thank you, Grace. I've waffled on long enough now.